Heavenly Father, we pray as we dive into your word today, Lord, that you would, in fact, help us to entrust our days and burdens to you, the one who can carry them, the one who can deal with them. Father, remove any anxiety or worry that we may have today and help us to see that you have a better path for us than worry and anxiety. Holy Spirit, make that very clear to us in this time of diving into your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are in Luke 12, 22 through 34, but I want to share just briefly a little bit on the parable of the rich fool that Pastor Rich so wonderfully preached on last week, because they go together. We can't just talk about one without the other. So you have the rich fool last week. He's trusting in himself because, in fact, he's worried. He's worried about all of the stuff and what shall I do? I don't have anywhere to store my crops. And so he goes, I'm going to put trust in myself. I'm going to build all these big barns and I'm going to take care of this. I've got it all figured out. And so here's the reality. As we look at Luke 12, verse 22 through 34, let me read this real quick and I'll share. He said to his disciples, so Jesus is talking to his disciples in this text, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." So on one hand, you have the parable of the rich fool. He's got it all figured out. And now Jesus is telling his disciples about worry and anxiety. Well, the reality is if we are putting trust in ourselves, then we should be worried. Like, you should worry if you're putting trust in yourself. You should have a lot of anxiety about that, because you're going to let yourself down. You can just say it right now. Self, I will let you down. It's just the way it works. In fact, there's a lot of worry in our world. You know that. We don't have to talk about it too much, but there's actually polls that people pay money to do this thing, right? The Harris poll in March of 2022, this year, had a Stress in America annual poll. Inflation was the number one thing, along with money stress. The poll found money stress to be at an all-time high of this Harris poll. Now, I don't know how long this Harris poll has been going on. Like, it could have been, like, this year, it's the all-time high. I have no idea. I think it's probably been some years. But money stress for this poll was at an all-time high. The survey also revealed a widespread grief, sense of loss, concern and worry for children's development among parents, and also these worries that people are dealing with are creating unhealthy coping habits, such as increased drinking and sedentary behavior. There's a lot of things you and I worry about. Things like aging, job security, health of parents or kids or yourself, or even your pets. Finding the right husband or wife. And once you have a husband or wife, maybe being concerned if they even love you anymore. Worry about being seen. Or worry that if what you even do matters. Young men or women going back to school this week, or if they've already been back in school, they're concerned about things like, is my teacher going to get me? Are they going to be nice? Or are they going to be mean? Am I going to have my friends in some of my classes? Am I even going to make any friends this year? These are things that we worry about, and we could spend all day discussing worries and anxieties. But here's the antidote to worry and anxiety. This is what the text tells us. It's trusting in God. That's the antidote to worry and anxiety. In Matthew 6, and here in Luke 12, these texts are very similar. And Jesus commands you and I not to worry. It says it right here. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. That's a command. It's not, hey, if you get around to it, or, you know, will you please consider not worrying? It's not like that. It's like your parents telling you, did you hear what I said? You better stop worrying. Now, maybe your parents didn't talk to you like that, but mine had to. They didn't have a choice. And my mom was Italian, so that just explains the whole other part of that. But God's commanding you. He's saying you don't have authorization to worry. You have no authorization to worry. And Jesus, at the end of verse 30 in Matthew 6 and at the end of 28 here in Luke chapter 12, says, here's the root issue of it all. Oh, you of little faith. You're not putting your trust in me. That's the whole issue. You put your trust in me, no worry. You don't put your trust in me, you have worry. We could go home right now. That's the issue. See, worrying doesn't help things. Those of you who worry a lot, has it ever made you feel better? Like, do you feel better? Man, I have worried all day. I feel so much better. This is great. Is that what happens? I don't think it does. Actually, I think it causes more anxiety, more heart palpitations, more sweating, more stress. That is not something that really helps us. It's been said worrying is like a rocking chair. You're moving a lot, but you're really not going anywhere. Try this. Go to Cracker Barrel, like load that place up after church today, and just go over there and sit in those rocking chairs on the front porch over there. And you're going to sit in those rocking chairs, and you're going to be rocking, and you're not going to move towards the hostess, like, desk. It's not going to get you anywhere. You're not going to be scooting on those. I mean, you have to really work really hard to scoot a rocking chair. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried that in life. I have. You have to work really hard. You know what happens? You burn a lot of energy and you're just staying in the same place. We worry. The most famous example that I can think of worry is March 2020, the great toilet paper gate. I mean, we lost our minds. We hoarded toilet paper like we were never gonna have it again, and what would we do if we ran out? Like, there's only so much lamb's ear and carpet remnants that you can use. Jeff Foxworthy, thank you. Some of you still have toilet paper from 2020, probably. If there's an expiration date, it'd be like falling apart. We lost our minds. Why? Well, we wanted control. That there were things that we felt like we were losing control, and we wanted to control what we could control. And so how is that? Well, you hear that there's going to be a shortage, so you make something happen about it. You go and you buy what you can just in case. We did the same thing with gas. Have you ever been in a hurricane? Oh, it's coming. I'm going to go. I've got a quarter of a tank. I've only used like 2 gallons of gas, but I'm going to go fill up just in case that I have to drive 300 miles after the hurricane, right? This is what you do. You get worried. How can I control this? And that's what we did, because there was an unknown. There was worry. There was anxiety. And so that's how we found ourselves controlling it. You see this rich man in the prior parable? He's trying to control things. He's trying to take care of it. And he had these barns and storehouses filled to the brim, yet he wasn't prepared for the future. Why? He put all his trust in himself instead of God. The very, and Jesus is showing the disciples this. He's like, hey, I'm going to pit the rich fool to the raven. And this is what Jesus says about that in verse 24. Consider the ravens to his disciples. They neither sow nor reap. Listen to this. They have neither storehouse nor barn, as the rich fool did, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So Jesus is telling his disciples this. Hey, do you need to be like the rich fool? Or do you need to be like the raven? And then the disciples don't have to think much. He gives them the answer. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Translation, I've got you. It's all fine. I'm going to take care of you. And here's what we know about ravens. They're scavenger birds. They're satisfied with the leftovers. They wouldn't think of storing up food for the future. That's why he used them as an example. Like, they just live for now. And in ancient times, ravens were actually regarded as careless creatures because they would fail to return to their nest. They build it, and they just leave it. And it was kind of seen as like, why are you so wasteful? Why do you waste all that time and effort and energy? And Psalm 147, verse 9 even tells us, God provides for the young ravens when they call. And so Jesus is saying, disciples, which one are you imitating? And Martin Luther actually writes in a sermon in 1534 on a similar text, the Matthew 6 version of this story. And he speaks from the perspective of the birds to instruct his 16th century hearers. Here's what he says. Thus our dear Lord holds before us the example of the birds, as if to say, birds do not have a care in the world. For they know they have an excellent kitchen chef and generous butler whose name is the Heavenly Father. This is the reason they say not to worry. Haven't you heard what kind of cuisine and cellar we have? Namely, as wide as the world is wide. That's the reason we fly wherever we wish. We find our find and the table is well prepared. The same Heavenly Father wants gladly to be your kitchen chef and butler, if you would only believe it or want to have him. He proves it by what he does. He gives you land, cellar, and barns. He gives you abundance much more than he gives the birds. Why then won't you trust in him? Do like the birds. Learn to believe, sing, be happy, and let your heavenly Father do the caring for you. You are surely the unhappiest people when you worry and do not choose to trust in God. Isn't that a powerful statement that Martin Luther says? Why then won't you trust in him? So why then won't you trust in him? Why then won't you trust in him? Why then won't you trust in him? Jesus has got you. This is the attitude that Jesus wants his disciples to have. And by the way, he's speaking to his disciples, but he's also speaking to his disciples, you and me in this text. And he wants us to have faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. And that's the opposite of what the world has. The world has trust in food and drink and clothing or fear of not having enough. And we, at times, do too. We desire just enough money or just enough power or just enough control. Yet Jesus brings the comfort that our Heavenly Father knows we need. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, whether here or individually, what do we say? God, give us our daily bread. That's what we pray every time. Give us our daily bread. And so, that's what Jesus wants us to do, to trust in him, to follow him, to seek God's kingdom. And that means to listen to Jesus and to follow Jesus. A translation of this text or pieces of this text is found in the Message translation. And I don't use it a lot, but I really like this version. So listen to what this translation says. Don't be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and how He works fuss over these things. But you both know God and how He works. So you find all your everyday human concerns will be met by God. Sometimes, friends, I think we're so preoccupied with getting that we don't respond to God's giving. We're so worried about what else we've got to get that we don't respond to the fact that God's already given us what we need. And so we get anxious, we get fearful. And look, here's the deal. If you're a person in this room right now or online watching that, you don't believe in Jesus as Savior, you have every right to seek after entertainment and clothing and food and drink. Go for it. Do your thing. But as followers of Christ, we don't have that permission. Jesus says, I've got you. I'm going to provide for you. Don't be preoccupied with getting. Respond to God's giving. Know that He's taking care of you. And it says this in Scripture in many other places. Let's look at a few. Psalm 34:10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. Because of the shepherd, I'm good. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, it's not the fact that there was food on our table yesterday that makes us trust in Jesus. Instead, it's the resurrection of Jesus, the promise fulfilled, that helps us trust. And see, you have to understand something. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus was living, but He had not yet died. He had not yet rose. The disciples are sitting here, and there is maybe some fear and anxiety. And there's going to be a lot of fear and anxiety coming up as Jesus is taken to the cross. But see, you and I, friends, we see the full picture because Jesus has lived, died, and rose for you and me. And He's coming back again. He's fulfilled every promise but that one, so we know it's going to be fulfilled. And so we don't have to worry about these ancillary things because Jesus has got us. The resurrection of Jesus allows us not to be anxious about the smaller things in life. And then Jesus leaves a next step for us. He says, hey, don't fuss over everything like those who don't know me. You know God and how He works, so don't worry. But at the same time, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. So what does that look like, that next step, that action step that Jesus gives you and me? Well, following God, listening to Him. And just briefly, a way that happens for me, I spend time in prayer or Scripture. And then sometimes, and this isn't hocus pocus stuff, it's just the reality. I think the Holy Spirit works through our thoughts. And sometimes I know one particular situation where I was praying over what steps to take. And in my prayer time, it felt like the Lord was saying, hey, you make your plans because I know you're a planner, but just be okay if I change your plans. And my thought was like, okay, I can handle that. You know, I can handle that. That's seeking God. That's just being in prayer with Him, like, hey, Lord, here's what I'm dealing with. Go into him. Go into his word. It's also just going to church, being part of his bride. You seek his kingdom. That's what you're doing right now. You're part of the fellowship of believers. Here, if you're hungry, if you ever run out of toilet paper, there's people here to say, man, I've got you. We're family. Let's help you out. We live in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have fatherly care that God's given us, and we are to care for one another. That's how this works. And that's what seeking his kingdom means. And then verse 34, this really ends with a striking final statement. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if you're like me, maybe your worry doesn't manifest in like tension in your neck and your back and your shoulders. That's not where I carry my worry. You know where I carry my worry? I try to be in control. When I worry about something, I try to fix it, or I try to deal with it, or I try to handle it. Because the pride in me says, I can figure this out, I can handle this, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough. Not doggone at people like me, because I almost went with Saturday Night Live there, but that was unintentional. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to try to take control of the situation. That's how my worry manifests itself. And maybe you're not a worrier, and you're like, hey, that didn't apply to me, Pastor Danny. I don't know why we got you as a pastor, because, man, if you're jacked up with this, there's no hope for me. Well, look, we're all human beings, right? We all deal with this. And so that's how it works for me. So sometimes my heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My treasure is, I can take care of it. I can deal with it. Or sometimes it's, I feel a lot less anxiety when my bank account looks like this versus like this. Anybody else there? But here's what I want you to know. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's Jesus' treasure? If we ask Jesus, where's your treasure? All he does is he just looks right back at you and goes, you? Because where my treasure is, there my heart is. And Jesus' treasure is he poured everything into you. He gave up everything for you. And so you're his treasure through his life, death, and resurrection. And the fact that he's coming back again to redeem you once and for all, you're the reason he exists. Have you ever thought about that? Not the other person next to you, you. That's an amazing, amazing gift, that you are Jesus' treasure. You don't ever have to worry about if that's the case. Because if you know him as Savior, you are. You have no authorization to worry, because Jesus has taken the worry from you, has redeemed you, has renewed you, has restored you. You're his. Amen. We rise.